In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have the typical reading for the Feast of the Theotokos. It's a peculiar reading. It's very different than most readings of the Gospel. It's a composite reading. It has two things that are not textually related to one another that are put together. Two occurrences that occurred not consecutively. And yet the church has put them together for a specific reason. Now, when this kind of thing happens, then you should obviously think, this is important. There must be something really important being said here, being taught here. Number one, we read this reading lots of times during the year. Number two, it has two things that are not related to one another, but that the church has made to be related. So they must be important. We know the story. Mary and Martha, sisters of Lazarus, were great friends of Jesus. As background, Mary was a former prostitute. Martha was the good girl. And when Jesus would come, at least this one occurrence, Martha's busy doing the things a good girl would do, taking care of the house, cooking, and Mary is just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, this is a metaphor. Mary is theoria, divine vision, and Martha is the divine action. You need to work in order to be saved, but the work is all so that we can sit at the feet of Jesus and be with him and know him. So the two things are necessary. And that in itself is an important teaching. Extremely important. Would put it among the most important gospel messages. But then the church adds from another chapter. Not that they knew chapters back when the Bible was written. They didn't even know punctuation or capitals. But from another section where after he has said to Martha that, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but there is need of one thing, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And it came to pass that as he was speaking these things, a certain woman of the crowd lifted up her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb which bare thee and the breast which thou hast sucked. Then he says an idiom that we sometimes don't understand, and especially people who don't love the Theotokos don't understand her, people who are infected with Protestant ideologies, they read it as, yea, rather, in other words, well, you know, really what's important is to hear the word of God and keep it. It's not so important that she bore me. That's not what the idiom says. The idiom actually says, yes, indeed, it amplifies. It's saying, yes, what you're saying is true, but this is more true. There are other examples of the use of this Greek word in the scriptures that show more clearly that it is amplification of the previous thought. So, yes, indeed, blessed is the womb which bore me and the breast which I have sucked. Absolutely, that is true. But it is even more true that the one that you refer to is the one who has heard the word of God and kept it. And so this fortuitous connection between Mary and Martha and Mary, the Theotokos, is made. Where the Lord has said that Mary has chosen the good part, and then immediately we segue to the Lord saying, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Referring to his mother, and really to anyone else who keeps the word of God. This is very, very important. The reason why we venerate the Theotokos so highly is because she was so obedient to the Lord. She was not a superhero. She was not above humanity. Just a regular old human being that was holy. By choice, by the exercise of her will. Also, by the exercise of the will of her parents who were holy, and all the people who prepared her, and all of the holy ancestors that she had, since she was of the throne of David. But as of her own will that she said yes to the Lord. And according to our understanding, when Gabriel heard her said, her say, "Be it so unto the handmaiden or the slave of the Lord," that's when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she became pregnant with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we venerate her pretty much extravagantly because of her connection with her Son and our Lord. So we call her Theotokos. That was a word that was fought over for many, many years. Still, a lot of people don't understand it. Certainly people that are not Orthodox don't understand it. Theotokos is two words, basically birth giver of God. It makes some people get twitchy when they hear it. But it's exactly true. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God and man. Wherever he is God and man, his two natures. You cannot separate one from the other. There was a time when there was one and not the other, but this is not that time. Since the time of the Annunciation, the Lord has been God and man. So we emphasize this critical, most important dogma, the foundational dogma of all, at least for our salvation, by saying she is the birth giver of God. Because when Jesus Christ came out of her womb, God and man came out. Not just man, not just God. But we say mother of God, birth giver of God, so as to emphasize this point. This is another reason, another way that we show this, is we say, "Most Holy Theotokos, save us," when we pray to her. Of course, Orthodox understand what this means, at least the ones who pay attention understand. Theotokos doesn't save us by her power and her might. She doesn't have any more power or might than a normal human. God saves by his power and might. But the Theotokos, because of her holiness, because of her love for her Son, she prays to her Son with great fervor, great power, great insistence. And so we know that her prayers are heard by the Lord. But there's another reason why we say, "Most Holy Theotokos, save us." Because every time we think of Mary, we think of Jesus. It's very rare to have an icon of her without our Lord also present in it. And so when we say, "Most Holy Theotokos," we are recalling that we are saved through the Theotokos. Not by the Theotokos, that nobody believes that. But through the Theotokos, our Lord became man through her. If you want to speak in some sort of biological way, all of our Lord's genetic material is from her. All of our Lord's humanity is from her. Nowhere else. So we are saved through her. He became man through her, using her womb as a ladder to climb down from heaven to earth to show us the way and to make us capable of following that way by changing the nature of humanity. So we say, "Most Holy Theotokos, save us," with great reverence, with great fear, because through her birth giving, we are saved. There's a humility to it. The thing that bothered me when I was a Protestant was I didn't see any humility. Now, individual humility, yes, absolutely. I saw people that are better people than I am or was, and probably to this day they're better people. But not humility. The religion is not humble. At least the many people I hung around with, the religion was not humble. It's important to be humble. It's important to approach God with deep humility. And I think saying, Most Holy Theotokos, save us, is a way of being really humble. She's better than we are. She chose to be better than we are. God didn't make her something by snapping his fingers. She chose to obey him, unlike us, who choose oftentimes to disobey him. And so we say, Most Holy Theotokos, save us, recognizing that she is the highest of all mortals, and that she is the portal, the mediatrix, through which our Lord saves us. She doesn't save us. The Lord saves us. But the Lord chose to save us through being born as her being the mother. And that's why we say, Most Holy Theotokos, save us. And that's why we venerate her so extravagantly. But remember that what we venerate her for, as far as her virtue, is her obedience. She wasn't made holy. Our Lord didn't make her holy as if we would make something in a factory. He asked her to be the mother, and she said yes. Not just yes, but let it be to the slave of the Lord. That's why we venerate her so highly. And I think in our day, it's particularly important for us to have proper veneration and understanding of the Theotokos. Because, of course, the Theotokos is ever virgin. We know this is a dogma of the faith. Now, it's sort of in trendy circles, people who think they're smart and nuanced and theologians and stuff, they tend to say, oh, that's not possible. Of course she gave birth, just like any other woman would have given birth. And some even people think that she had other children. We know this not to be true. Really, we know it not to be true for one reason. Because she gave birth to God. Who's going to live a mundane life after having God within their body for 9 months? Nobody. It completely makes no sense whatsoever for the Theotokos to live a mundane life, for her to have marital relations with Joseph and children, with an 80-year-old man, after giving birth to God, and knowing that he was the salvation of herself and her people and all of mankind. It makes no sense at all. Now, there's no historical document that says she was a virgin. I mean, the Bible says she was virgin, but it doesn't explicitly say she was virgin after giving birth, during giving birth. But we understand this to be a dogma and to be true. And we also understand that she was very holy. Now, we don't have much holiness in our world anymore. We certainly don't have much sexual purity in our world anymore. We even have people saying things that are horrendous and terrible and saying that they are good and calling themselves Christians. Even foolish Orthodox Christians that say the same claptrap that the world is saying. The same stuff about biology and genetics and all that kind of stuff. And that's a horrible thing, because there is right and there is wrong. There are things that lead to life and things that lead to death. There are things that are good for the soul and things that are bad for the soul. And in a general sense, any impurity, whether it be sexual or otherwise, is destructive to the soul. As Christians, we need to try to be more pure and understand how valuable it is. That's even kind of an understatement, how valuable it is. There's no life without purity. That's like saying we should understand the value of water. Well, without water, there's no life. Without purity, there's no life. Fortunately, in our case, it is without the struggle for purity, there is no life. Because only the Theotokos lived in a totally pure way in this life, and our Lord.
And some of the saints attained to great purity and holiness, although historically, all of their life, they were not pure and holy. This is why it's important to venerate the Theotokos. Very important. And not to be afraid to tell people why we venerate her. Our world is just fixated on material things. Money and status and entertainment and any kind of sexual expression that they think is good. Those things do not lead to life. Purity, struggling for holiness, struggling to follow the commandments, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, which means doing the things that he says, those things lead to life. And the Theotokos shows us that way. That's why in our age especially, it's very important that we have healthy veneration and understanding of the Theotokos. Now, there is unhealthy veneration, too. There are people sometimes that don't go to church, but they come when there's an icon of the Theotokos that is miracle-working. And that's more of a kind of idolatry than it is true faith. You sure come for the miracle-working icon, but also live as a Christian before you come as well. Through the prayers of the Holy Theotokos, O Lord Jesus Christ, O God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.